they always want to know, Biscuit, how do you look so goddamn good? And I always tell them, it's because I wear hairless ape conspiracy shirts only. It's all I wear anymore. Highest quality, best prints, fucking sweetest graphics, veteran owned, veteran operated. What else do you fucks want? Oh, not enough? It is. They fight hard, they love harder, and they will not stop until you throw dirt upon them. Go to hairlessapeconspiracy.com. It's the wrong website. hairlessapeinc.com. Use the promo code BISCUIT10. Save yourself a motherfucking 10%. Get yourself a motherfucking t-shirt. Get laid. Get paid. Quit living your bullshit life. I don't give a fuck if the earth is round or flat or not. You need a hairless ape conspiracy shirt. Start looking good like me. Why not? And while you're looking good, why not feel good? Take your ass, your raggedy ass, down to Mount Vernon, Ohio. Go see Chad at Lucid Flow Spas and start feeling better today. That's Lucid Flow Spas, Mount Vernon, Ohio. Feel better today. And if you're on the internet, you might as well go ahead and go on down and surf over to parkersplatoon.org. Check out Scott, the Sheriff Parker Stanley Cup Champions website, what him and his wife are doing with their nonprofit organization, helping one veteran at a time. On today's episode, I have Nick of Beer League Talk. Enjoy.
Now Probert, oh, Probert got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky's, the Muser, Bobby Orr's. Hey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the Biscuit. It's the Biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you wanna go?
Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, Biscuit Babies, I'm joined by Beer League Talk's one and only creator and host, Nick Fleehart, one third of the party. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining, man. I'm super stoked to have you on. And when I say one third, you run the show with Danny and April, right?
Yeah, Danny and April are kind of my partners in crime. We have a couple other guys that are behind the scenes, but Danny and April are the two main co-hosts.
And you guys are pretty prolific. I mean, you're doing, constant content, it seems like. You guys just never stop.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the goal. Like, when I first started, it was just, it was a way to really hear myself talk, I think. And then it just kind of kept growing, and we kept adding, and we keep playing more hockey, so just more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, that's the one thing I seem to notice. You guys are literally playing beer league, like, it seems like every other night, really.
Yeah, it used to be a lot more, and every other night was correct. And then I had a baby, and my wife told me I couldn't play as much. But I mean, I do the league, like, we play quite regularly, and then we go to these tournaments. I think this year, 13 or 15 tournaments is going to be what I end up on at when all said and done this year. So there's definitely a lot of hockey being played.
How many times during those 14, 15 tournaments you go, what the fuck have I gotten myself into?
That's every single tournament. The thing is, I don't know if you know this, like, I do hockey full time for a job. So, like, we run adult leagues in Western Canada. So we have like 300 teams in five cities. And then we also put on these draft tournaments where you don't need a team. You just kind of show up. We make teams by beer chugging contest, and we do about 18 of them a year. So
are you serious?
Yeah, they're pretty crazy. And
that's legit.
Yeah, I mean, when I started them, we only had three of them. We had Vegas, Canmore, Alberta, and Jasper, Alberta. And then I kind of became the guy running them. And as an American, I wanted to do way more American cities. So I just started adding them in American cities. And now they've kind of blown up, taken off. And, you know, I think a lot of people enjoy kind of the atmosphere around it. It's not really about winning or losing. It's more about hey, just have fun, drink beer, and meet more hockey players. The only rule is don't be a dick.
Yeah, man. And walk me through that. So you say you get 120 hockey players to show up. Y'all crack a beer at the same time, and whoever finishes first, second, like that's is that how you pick teams?
No, not really. What happens is we take the registrations, and everyone ranks their skill levels on 1 to 10, and we have like this write-up. And then their buddies that are coming with them, they also rank themselves and their buddies. And then we kind of get a good feel of where these guys fit, and then we make draft rounds. So every round has players of similar skill. And so it doesn't matter if you just began playing or if you played your whole life, you're going to be in a round with players that are in your same skill level. And then we randomize the rounds, except for the first round. It's always the goalies. We bring the goalies up. We give them a beer to chug. They chug it. And after that, that first chug is so they can pick their jerseys because every tournament has a unique theme. Like we have a Vancouver tournament coming up, and it's Power Rangers uniform, so you look like the Power Rangers.
White Ranger?
There's White Ranger, Red Ranger, Green Ranger. I can't remember what his fourth one has to be Blue Ranger, I would imagine. But we have all those. The goalies get to pick, and then we give them another beer. Excuse me. And they chug again, and whoever finishes first gets first pick in the next round.
So say I show up, and my levels of skill on the ice is like a 1 or 2, but my beer chugging is like an 8 or a 9. Does that equal me out to like a 5-star player?
No, you'll just get to be in your round. You'll just be king shit on Turd Mountain there. and the beer chugging is really just a way to kind of, you know, even the playing field and do really what we want to do is drink beer. So we just found a way to make it into a hockey tournament.
And it seems like it would kind of set the attitude of the league or the tournament too, like not so serious where, like for instance, one of your YouTube videos, and if you don't follow Beer League Talk on YouTube, you're fucking your whole life up because you guys are great on there. And one of my favorite ones is the How to Spot a Ringer, basically an asshole. And that would kind of weed that out, that kind of style of tournament, I would think.
You know, I think there's been people that have come to these tournaments and they've wanted to be the man. They went and scored 10 goals in a game, and hey, cool, whatever.
Right.
Right. But, you know, once you start coming to them and you realize that the people aren't really there for that, yeah, it's cool to score 10 goals. I get it. I've never done it. Maybe in my career I've got 10 total, but I think they find out that people are there to have fun, drink beer, and meet people from all over. And, I mean, we've got tournaments where players are coming from Australia, from the UK, from, you know, 12 different states and 4 different provinces, and they all come together just to have a weekend of, you know, doing what we love, and that's playing hockey and drinking beer.
Speaking of, cheers, bud.
Oh, yeah, I wish I had my beer. I was just watching my baby, so apparently you can't parent drunk, which is weird. I think I'd be way better parenting if I was drunk, but
if I meet a medium level of drunk, I'm pretty good at parenting. But my wife's got to be home. I can't do it solo, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my guy's 16 months old, so it's like I have to chase him constantly.
Yes, I have a 10-month-old girlfriend. And then also 8-year-old boy and then a 3-year-old girl, too. I've got kids everywhere, dude.
Oh, my gosh. You know what causes them, don't you?
I'm told if you kiss your wife really hard is how it works or something like that.
Yeah, stop kissing your wife.
I always figured it was blowing loads in her, but someone told me that wasn't correct.
Well, I didn't know it was that kind of show. I guess I have listened to a few episodes, and I should have known better.
So how did you get into hockey? Because I know you're an American boy, but you live in up north now, don't you?
Yeah, I live in Calgary now. I'm originally born and raised in the greatest state in the union, Oklahoma.
I was going to say, you're a Sooner, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a Sooner. So Boomer Sooner, if you have any Sooner fans listening. But, you know, I didn't even know what hockey was really growing up. I played football, played baseball, went to college, played baseball through college. And,
no shit. Good for you, man.
We went to like CHL games, like Oklahoma City Blazers versus Tulsa Oilers. One, because like they would have team brawls before the game started, and it was coin beer on Thursday night. So we just went that drunk. I really didn't care about the hockey. And then I met a Canadian, and they forced me into the game, and the rest is history.
Is your wife Canadian?
Yeah, my wife's Canadian from Calgary. She was in, she was down doing some school in Oklahoma, and I had a buddy that played baseball at the school she was going to, and we just met and hit it off. She needed a green card, and I was the ticket.
Now, pardon my ignorance, is Oklahoma close to Canada?
No, it's actually just north of Texas.
Okay, I thought it was like not anywhere. I was sitting there thinking, like, how the hell? I mean, that seems like a gap.
It's crazy for her. Like, apparently Oklahoma has a really good dance school.
Oh, really?
She's a dancer, not that dancer. But she does jazz, tap, ballet, all that good stuff. And so she was down there getting a dance degree, and we met. And first Christmas that she brought me up to visit the folks, they bought me hockey gear and said, "You're going to be a hockey player."
What?
And I said, "Yeah." I said, "No, I'm not."
I said, "No, sir, I'm not. I'm a goddamn Sooner."
It's great. Yeah. And I had the gear. I got on the ice a couple times. My very first time on the ice that Christmas was with a bunch of 7-year-old kids for my wife's cousin's birthday party, and it was embarrassing.
Well, a 7-year-old Canadian kid on ice skates is like a 15-year-old American.
It's crazy. I mean, they're skating. The difference between, like, the southern United States is in the winter, even if they can't find a hockey rink to play in, they can skate on the ponds, right? It's just second nature. So, like, when I was out, shooting hoops or playing football in the front yard,
exactly,
like, guys are skating, right?
Exactly.
And so they bought me the gear, and it took me a while to kind of catch the bug. And what really actually made me catch the bug, truth be known, is that I met Jerome McGinley one Christmas up here, and I was like, man, these hockey players, they're pretty sweet. We have the displaced New Orleans Hornets in Oklahoma from the Hurricane Katrina, and those guys, they won't talk to you at all. And here's Jerome McGinley making fun of my accent. And, just shooting the shit with me. And I kind of went home, started watching it more. And then I was like, you know what? I'm ready to get on the ice. And I did.
Well, how did you bump into Jerome McGinley?
My wife was...
He's a dancer.
Doing some, well, she, yeah, she is a dancer. But she was doing some work at, I don't even remember where. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to go to this Flames practice. I had just went to my first game two nights before, a Battle of Alberta on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm just going to kill some time. You were working right by the Saddle Dome, so I'll go in and watch practice. I just happened to run into Jerome McGinley, and he told me I sounded funny. So then we just got to talking, and it was really cool. The next year I went back, and he actually remembered me. He said, hey, you're the kid from Oklahoma. And I was like, yeah.
And, wow, man.
So, like, Iggy, as much as I know he's aged out of probably playing the game in the NHL these days, like, I still wish that the Flames had a spot for him because...
So many people wish he was still... I think even just for one more year, just one more go at it.
Yeah, the thing is, like, he's still had a shot, right? He just didn't have the foot speed anymore, but... it was definitely a joy getting to meet him, and I hope he comes back to Calgary in some fashion and does some hockey stuff.
Absolutely. Have you ever talked about him maybe, coming as a celebrity for one of the Beer League Talk tournaments or something like that?
Oh, that would be absolutely incredible.
That'd be lights out.
For the draft tournaments, I just thought, like, the draft tournaments are the tournaments we're talking about. I just MC the events, so they're not actually Beer League Talk tournaments. We do have Beer League Talk team tournaments, but we've been approached by a ton of celebrities to come to the draft tournaments. The only thing is, like, I don't know, they want us to pay them full price.
Right.
It's a crazy thing. Like, we had the band, like, a drummer from the band Goldfinger reach out. And he was like, hey, I want to come, but I need you to pay for my entry, pay for my flight,
insurance,
pay for my hotel, pay for this. And we're like, dude, like...
Yeah, we'd love to have you, but no.
So, yeah, it would be great to have Jerome McGinley out. It would be great to have some pro players out, but maybe in the future.
Yeah, man, that's something to look forward to. That's really cool that he remembers you, too. Probably having that southern drawl didn't hurt in that instance. I know a lot of the times when I talk to, I have a lot of Canadians on here and a lot of Canadian fans. In particular, Danny Probert was like, "Where are you from? Why is your voice like that?" And I'm like, "I'm not even that far south of Windsor. I mean, I'm in Ohio. That's not that far."
Yeah, it's funny because I don't hear my accent anymore, and a lot of people tell me I don't have an accent since I've moved to Canada. But when I call my parents now, I'm like, "Man, what a bunch of fucking hicks."
Well, my wife's from Michigan, and we'll go up there and. That's actually how I met with Planner, was playing music up there. And after shows, people would go, where the fuck are you guys from, like, Atlanta or something? Like, I mean, we live in a rural part of Ohio, but I'm like, man, I never realized that we talked slow and kind of hillbilly-ish, I guess. But I never realized it until you go meet people from other places.
Yeah, and you know, like, we're actually going to Ohio to play in one of these draft tournaments here in a month and a half. And I guess I don't really hear the accent. I don't think you have a draw at all.
Good, good. Where in Ohio are you going?
We're going to Columbus. It'll be our second Columbus draft tournament.
Oh shit! When is it?
First weekend of September. So September 7th, I believe, is the actual date of it.
Are you guys playing at a chiller?
Yeah, we're playing at the one that's connected right to the rink, so it's the practice facility.
No shit, dude.
Yeah, we did it. Our first one was last year, and it was a special one for me outside of hockey because it fell on the weekend that the Buckeyes got destroyed by my Sooners, and so I got to go to
Baker Mayfield threw it in there.
And you know, I'm actually quite impressed because the Ohio State fans that I sat behind were great.
That's very shocking to me.
I was worried about it because I wore my Sooner gear. I was all decked out, especially when they started getting beat. And I thought, okay, but the guy behind me had played in the band, like, and all he talked about was the band and how cool it was. And the band at Ohio State is absolutely phenomenal.
Those nerds kill it, dude. They kill it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was a pretty good experience. I've had some bad college football experiences in my day. I've traveled around a lot to watch the Sooners. But the Ohio State one was a good one.
That's absolutely shocking. The reason I'm not a Buckeyes fan is because I know Buckeyes fans. I've always said you guys are the worst kind of humans are Buckeye fans, and I'll stick to it till the day I die. Only reason I started to halfway like them is we would get my buddies' dads would always get season tickets to the Buckeyes hockey games, and it was like that was the most hockey we would watch. I'm like, well, I guess Buckeye hockey's not that bad, but I mean Buckeye football. I'm really shocked you had a decent time there because I've seen them call like little 5-year-olds assholes for wearing like a Michigan shirt and stuff. I'm like, okay, settle down, guys.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's more of like a Ohio State Michigan thing. Like I know the Texas Oklahoma rivalry gets pretty heated.
Red River shootout.
Yeah, we've had some pretty heated times at those games. So maybe it's just that rivalry.
And I don't know where Oklahoma University's at, but like Columbus is literally just a college. That's all the town is. So they kind of lose sight of reality there a little bit.
Well, I mean, but the good thing is like in Ohio, they at least have pro sports. You know, growing up, the Sooners were our pro sport. Like
that's a good point.
Yeah, we got NBA later on, like in, with the 2007 or 8 or something like that. And we had the AHL, the Edmonton Oilers AHL team, but outside of that, it's just been college sports are pretty dominant, and football is a big deal in Oklahoma and Texas. So,
what do you think of Baker Mayfield?
I love Baker Mayfield. I think he's got swagger. You know, one part that's hard for me in like even watching hockey is like the canned interviews, and it just seems really, really scripted.
Yeah,
and I like to see people with a little,
He is good for that. He is good. He's off the cuff.
I mean, I don't like that he grabbed his junk and
see. Yeah, that's the only thing I like about him.
I did actually like it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
but I understand why he shouldn't be doing that.
Right. I mean, maybe at college, but now I say let him go. Who cares? We kind of need somebody like him. Hockey could use a Baker Mayfield. As much as like Nashville needs ice. Like it's. The league's crying for it, begging for it. Because you guys have, we have P.K. Subban, but he's, like, almost an Urkel. Like, he's great at hockey, but it's so off the cuff, but so cookie-cutter off the cuff. Like, you're like, oh, this is what he's going to say, Like, oh, welcome to the six and all this shit. But, like, Baker, I mean, he had an interview, with homeboy Cowherd the other day and, like, just was, like, flying back at him. Like, no, that's not true. That's not what I did. And you never see that.
No, it's crazy. I even asked an NHLer. I interviewed him. His name's Matt Donovan. He played in the Islanders organization, played last year with Rasmus Dahlin over in Europe. And the reason I know him is because he was the first born and bred Oklahoma NHL player.
All right.
We had a conversation, and I just asked him, hey, like, why? Why is it so scripted? And he's like, we get training, like we get media training, and, they want you to kind of stay to that. They don't want you to get too far out there. The people that kind of get more leeway is like the Brad Marchands.
Yeah.
You know, the superstars can do whatever they want, but for us guys that are kind of just depth D guys, like, it's pretty much just shut up, say this, and move on.
Well, yeah. I mean, even look at Paul Bissonnette early on in his career, or not early on in his career, but when he was in Arizona, you know, he had to shut down his Twitter, and they were kind of like, okay, cool it. And yep. they'll just dump your ass because, I mean, if you're playing fourth line minutes and then causing problems with Twitter, since the game, the way I always think about it is since the game originated in Canada, that's kind of a Canadian state of mind. Like, they don't really want to hear your opinion. They just want you to play hockey with the team and, you know, try to win the cup.
Yeah, well, for sure. And that's, and you know, like, I know you want to ask, you know, how kind of beer league talk came to be, but that's kind of one of the goals of Beer League Talk, is to kind of, like, that's the opinions that we want. Like, we want to promote those. Like,
absolutely.
I love the game. I love hockey, but I also love the human aspect of the sport. And to be able to hear what these guys are really thinking would be fascinating to everyone.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's where, you know, I've had like Riley Cote on or Scott Parker. I think that's what they're most shocked about, my interviews. You know, besides the language and the looseness of it was, I mean, half the questions weren't even hockey related. I just wanted to know about them, because you can go get their, you know, who was the toughest guy you fought, who punched the hardest kind of answer. You know, I wanted to, you know, what do you do in your free time? Do you like to dance? That kind of shit. I mean, because that's what people want to hear. They want to hear the human side of the player.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the flip side, you could ask those questions about who's the person that hit you the hardest, and here I am trying to go find out how hard it is to get hit by people like Dustin Byfuglien. And I've said, I want to suit up and have one of these guys take a run at me just so I'll know what it feels like.
Ooh.
And I think that too, that noise is what goes through my head, but I'm still curious. Aren't you curious?
Oh, of course, man. Because there's such a gap between being on skates and playing pond hockey to having Dustin Byfuglien hit you.
For sure. And, you know, there's also, like, it's funny because I can watch a game, and like, let's say you go to an NHL game, you're like, this looks slow. Like, it looks slow when you're up in the stands, and the closer you get, it gets faster. And then you get on the ice and it's a completely different game.
Oh, same, yeah.
Same goes for beer league games. Like, you can watch a beer league game, you're like, oh, these guys aren't that fast. And then you go out there and you're like, holy shit, these guys are fast.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, some of the guys that, you can, the last beer league game I went to was in Michigan. I was watching my buddy play, and you could see some of the guys that could really turn it on. And, you know, we're playing it easy though, to make the league more fun, because like you said, most of the time it's more about just being out there on the ice, but you could see them, you know, just turn it on for a second. You're like, oh shit. Like, there's another level, like, and it can come real quick.
Yeah. I don't have that level. But
no, I don't either.
Many
no.
Times.
No. And if it looks slow, I don't think the people that say that probably have never been on ice skates, because it's not as easy as it looks to ice skate, let alone play hockey.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I picked it up when I was almost 30 years old, and, you know, then you're at that point, you're afraid of getting hurt. You get worried about your job. You're worried about everything else.
Yeah, man.
But you know what? Like, the cool thing up here in Calgary is my company runs a program called Discover Hockey. And it's these people that are in their 30s to 40s and they want to learn and be a part of the game, whether they just moved to Canada or maybe they couldn't afford to play when they were younger. Their parents just couldn't get them equipment. And so now they're coming out, and like, that's those guys that come out of that, that mindset of, hey, I'm not going to try because it's too hard and I don't want to be embarrassed. Like, the utmost respect for me, because I had to do that too. I understand. And it's not easy to say, okay, I know I'm going to be bad at this. I know I'm probably going to fall and it might hurt, and I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I mean, that's an incredible company you work for there. We were lucky. We had the town here I live in, Belleville, the rink when I was younger, we used to be able to play hockey on it. It's banned now because kids were getting hit that weren't playing or whatever. But so we would literally walk down the alley in our skates. Our mom would lace us up and we'd go down, you know, walking in the snow in someone's yard and get there and play. But even playing on a pond or like a local rink like that to playing on like an actual sheet it seems completely different.
For sure. I agree with you. I mean, even on the pond, the ice is choppy and
yeah,
all that stuff. But you know what? I like the most fun I've had is just going out with the boys one afternoon on a pond and just kicking it around, man. That's kind of the purest form of hockey, right? Like that's,
oh, it was legit.
You know,
we'd sit out there, we'd play so long that we were spraying like Vicks Vapor Rub, like spray in our mouths, so our throats would go numb, so you could play longer. You'd heat your skates up on the fire so you could cut a little better on the ice. You had anything you could do to. And a few of the firefighters in town had built little goals for us, you know, just of like probably three pucks wide, you know, because you couldn't have a goalie down there, but, you know, at least to have something to bury it in, man. It was fun while it lasted. I'm really sad that they don't have like a night designated for the kids to go down there and skate and play.
Well, it's always time to get that started.
Yeah, it is. I really want to get it moving forward and see if I could get like a company to donate some masks, you know, like the bird cages or whatever. Just if there was a group of kids to get out there and just maybe just even try it. It's a shame that that was part of the idea of starting the Biscuit when I did like 3 years ago now, was to grow the sport that I love so much in an area which has a lot of talented athletes, but not necessarily the reach for hockey. I mean, we have the Blue Jackets, but for whatever reason, it seems to get lost. But it is getting better, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Now, I have a ton, like I said, a ton of American listeners and a lot of people that are new to hockey. So I wanted, if you could, just give me your definition of beer league, because I know a lot of people hear it and they probably go, well, what's that? They just sit there and drink beer? How would you describe it to a layman or someone that doesn't know?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right that when you say beer league hockey, it's people are like, oh, they're just out there getting drunk. No, I mean, beer league hockey is really just any form of adult hockey where you go out and you play hockey with the boys, whether it's once a week, twice a week. And, you know, you might have a cold, frosty beverage afterwards before you head back home. And you know what? I have a ton of people on my team that they don't drink at all.
Right.
And so they bring Coca-Cola. I have a buddy that's in Pittsburgh. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's going to hate me for saying Pittsburgh. I mean, ooh, Philadelphia.
Ooh,
and their team is called the Rippers. Nice. And they've got a really famous jersey. It's got Jesse and the Rippers on front of it. It's like it went all over
I've seen that
a while ago. But their goalie doesn't drink. So every time it's the goalie's turn to bring beverages, he brings Yoo-Hoo.
I like a good Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah, I love Yoo-Hoo. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's a hard, when I say, hey, with beer league hockey, there's a negative connotation with it. But no, it's beer league hockey is just any type of form of hockey you can play with your boys and maybe have a drink or two after the game. It's the same as beer league softball, beer league basketball. It's just adult sports.
Right. And like you said, it's not, you can still come and play without drinking. It's not.
Oh, sure. I mean, and there's a ton of people, right? I mean, no one's forcing you to drink. I think it just kind of goes hand in hand. Like you're out playing on the pond and you just have a couple beers around the fire and then it just kind of led into, okay, that's how we're going to do our leagues. And, you know, it's just adult entertainment, not the good kind, but the hockey kind.
Now, how did you end up starting Beer League Talk and how did you end up meeting Danny and April?
I kind of started Beer League Talk on my own. I was playing in the tournaments and the leagues, and I met a DJ of one of the biggest morning rock shows in Seattle. He was a goalie and he played in our Seattle draft tournament, and we became buddies. And he just said, "Hey, dude, like, why don't I start a podcast about adult hockey?" And I'm like, "Well, I mean, who wants to listen to me?" And he just said, "Hey, you know what? You're passionate about it. You love it. You're well spoken. So just give it a try, and if no one listens, then what was the harm?"
Right.
And so I said, okay, and I did. I started with actually a colleague that works with me. His name's Brett. He was on the first few episodes, and people started listening, and it just kind of kept growing. And I wanted to bring in kind of a little different voice, because Beer League isn't just for the guys anymore, right? Like, there's a lot of really talented female players. And so I kind of wanted to have that perspective, and Danny and April played in one of these tournaments. We kind of hit it off chemistry-wise in terms of joking around and doing all that stuff, and I invited them on. April 1st came on for an episode, and then Danny came on a couple episodes later, and then I just asked them if they wanted to be full-time, and Brett had to step away just because family obligations and such, and the rest is history, and we just kind of keep rolling along, keep growing, and just like you, like, our goal is to, you know, help expose the sport to more people. I'm really sensitive to that because I'm from the South where there wasn't much hockey.
Yeah.
And I think, and once I found out about it, I kicked myself for not getting into it when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because I love the damn sport so much. And so, so we've been doing it and trying to just do cool hockey things ever since.
You guys are doing the Lord's work too. I mean, anywhere from, I'm not sure if it was April or Danny who did the American tape.
yeah.
How incredible is that? If you, to describe what I'm saying here, there's a, it was even on TSN, wasn't it?
I don't remember if I saw it on TSN. I know Warrior was sharing it around. But
that's okay. I saw it on Warrior. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But so is it Danny who did the tape job?
Yeah. She's the crafty one.
She literally puts an American flag on a hockey stick out of tape, and it's incredible. How did she end up learning how to, like, that seems like so much time to end up learning how to do that.
You know, I don't know. She did a Canadian flag one first for Canada Day.
Boo!
And I said, hey, listen, like I'm American, and I think if you're going to do it for Canada, we got to do it for our American listeners too.
That's what I'm talking
about. And so she did. And then she made a like one that had flames on it, not for the Calgary Flames, just like they look like the emoji flames on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And she made that one too here just last week. So I don't know. She's figured out how to make these, and I mean they're pretty cool. I know she's played with them.
Oh.
She didn't play with the Canadian one. She played with the USA one and scored a goal. So now I say, well, then that must mean you must become American now.
Yeah, I think that officially makes her an American, actually.
Yeah, because she doesn't score very many at all, and so to score one with an American flag, it has to be a sign.
She needed to chug like a straight up Budweiser after that one.
I'll tell you what, when we talk about draft tournaments and beer chugging, Danny can chug some beer. Like she wins her chug round 9 times out of 10.
What seems to be the beer choice among the beer leaguers? Just, you know, like your run of the mill, like a Molson or a Bud Light or something like that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my buddies like the Coors Banquet.
Ooh, I don't mind a Colorado Kool-Aid every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, they like that. I like Kokanee Gold when someone will bring it in.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
That's like a Canadian beer. It's like the first beer that my dad and I had together when I came to Canada. Like, he came up for my wedding.
Nice.
And so we had a Kokanee Gold, so it's more sentimental than taste. It's usually Coors Banquet, you know, Bud Light. Everyone likes that. If you're wanting to do the cheap beer, I don't even know what cheap beer is here in Canada because everything is freaking expensive.
I was going to say, everything's like $40 or whatever.
It's like, you buy a case and you're looking at $40-$50, and then we go to the States and it's $1 a beer, if that.
Oh, yeah. I just bought a 12-pack of Labatt's and it was like $9 or something like that.
Yeah, it's absolutely asinine.
I was listening today to some weird occult podcast in Canada, and they were drinking something called like the Original 16 or some brewery. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, there's a I've seen it. I've heard about it, never drank it, but it's something that
it's like Saskatoon, right?
A brewery was going out of business, and then the 16 guys that worked there pulled all their money and bought the brewery, and so that's where the Original 16 comes from.
It sounds intriguing. I'm sure I don't care about the beer, but I'd like to try it just because that's pretty sweet story. The 16 dudes were just like, we gotta save the brewery, man. We gotta do it.
It sounds like a movie, right?
It really does. I hope that they make a movie out of it, actually. Scorgy, if you're listening, you need to produce that, bud.
Yep.
One of my favorite videos that you guys did, and I'm pissed that I can't find the other 7 commandments, but it's the 10 commandments of Beer League.
Well, okay, don't be pissed too much because we haven't made the other 7 commandments in video.
the shit you guys are doing on there, it's things like that, or you'll have like a hostile, you know, the hostile interviews, or you know, hockey porn. I mean, your YouTube page is just pure fun. Is that the three of you collaborating together, or you know, do you have other people write in and be like, oh, you guys should do this? And they're really edited well and put together very well as well.
Well, I want to say I do all the editing. Danny does some editing too.
You're working your ass off, man.
Well, I call myself the hardest working man in Beer League. It's kind of a self-made title, but what we found is if you make a claim and nobody disputes it, it just sticks, right? So, like, we called ourselves the greatest hockey show in the world, and no one ever said, no, you're not. So now
there
we
you
just
go.
Aren't, right?
That's what I just said. We're the Biscuit, the enforcer of all hockey podcasts, and it's law now.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, back to your question. Most of this is us, right? Like, it's just, we sit around, we chat about what we want to talk about. And I think one thing that we really pride ourselves on is having really awesome listeners and people that are creative and they make suggestions. And then on the flip side, knowing that we're not so big that we can't listen to our listeners' suggestions and make them happen.
Which is important. I mean, because you guys have a big following. I mean, a really tight-knit community of followers. But when you guys are taking the time to answer those people, it really makes a very family unit following Beer League Talk.
Well, that's what Beer League is for us.
Right, I mean, right.
It is a family. And for me, like, on a personal note, when I started doing the social media stuff, like, I made it kind of my mission to say, hey, if someone is going to take their time to write us and to talk to us, then the least that they deserve is my time to write back to them. Because, I mean, people send money via Patreon, which is really awesome. But the thing that's worth the most to me is time, right? I think it's really awesome that people take their time to listen to our shows,
yeah,
listen, watch our videos, but also to reach out and talk about things. And it's really a unique thing, too, because we do all these tournaments that our listeners can actually come out and actually experience playing with us as well.
And it's not lost on, you know, for all the listeners on any of us creating podcasts or content on YouTube, you know, if you want to leave a comment or something like that, you go, oh, well, they're not going to read it or anything. And trust me, anybody creating something like that or taking the time to do something like this, they're reading it. And if they're not answering you back, they're probably just a dick or don't care.
Well, I mean, like, look at all the big pot, like Spit and Chicklets. Like, yeah, those guys aren't answering you back because they don't have to, right? I mean, they're going to have people listen to their stuff because they're pro hockey players and right, they have Barstool Sports, so they have the marketing behind it. And you can even look at, like, Barstool Sports and the blogs. Like, when people comment on their blogs, they don't ever answer back. So for me, it's like, that's what I don't ever want to outgrow, is that I want people to know if they're going to interact with Beer League Talk or anything that we do, that I'm going to try my damnedest to make sure that I get them a response back, because I truthfully do appreciate these guys taking that time to support us, to be a part of it, to enjoy what we're doing.
Well, my hat's off to you, man. I mean, because you guys got maybe 65,000 plays on some videos and you haven't lost sight of that. So that's really incredible and a great attitude to have. And I mean, that's inspiration to me to keep that kind of attitude towards, you know, creating and doing something like this. So my hat's off to you in that aspect, man.
Oh, well, thank you. And you're pretty active yourself on social media. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, I think if a lot of us hockey podcasts or sport podcasts just kind of get together and keep that, you know, it's really easy, like I said, to do a podcast like Spit and Chicklets where you have pro people and, you know, you kind of take for granted that the listeners enjoy that stuff. And we really can't. Like, cannot, you know, so, and for me, like, I get a lot of inspiration from beer leaguers, right? Like, people say, hey, like, what about this and this? Or here's a story that happened to me. And then we can take it to the podcast and say, hey, let's do this. And, like, even like a skit that I'm working on now is, you said you watched podcast porn, so you probably saw my shiny new ref jersey that April got for me.
Yeah, bud.
So, like, I just hear all the stories about refs. So I'm going to put on that ref jersey and then go act out those stories and put them on film, because I think they'll be funny.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. I actually had a few direct messages earlier today. I was probably had one too many beers earlier and started Instagram live video. And like, cause I was just out in the studio, like, just kicking it. The girls were all napping. And I was like, I'll just, you know, go have a beer. Turned into like six and then turned into like me listening to death metal, and I was like, just Instagram live, and I haven't done it in a while. And somebody's like, what are you doing, dude? It's like, you lose control sometimes.
Yeah, you know, like, you always want to do something different. Like, people don't want to see the same thing over and over again, and so, you know, you might as well try it, and if it works, great, and if not,
sure.
What'd you really lose?
That's, and, you know, I've had podcasts on here where I've, you know, taken a pee break or whatever, and I've had a few people be like, well, why don't you edit anything? I'm like, well, that wasn't, I don't want to be an editor.
Yeah.
I mean, I record the show, I do all the social media, I book all the shit, like, I'm doing enough, and I have a family, like, so sitting down for another 3 hours afterwards to cut out a pee break just doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah, you know, and there's such a fine line. Like I try to do as little editing as I can because
people
I
like think it. If you know what I mean? People like that raw. Just when I listen to podcasts, that's what I enjoy. Is just people talking.
What's real, right? Like it's like our show isn't scripted. We have a list of topics. Sometimes we don't have a list. We just go off the cuff. But you know, I think it. Sometimes you say something that is stupid, and sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's something that's going to get you chirped. But it was real in that moment, so why would you take that realness out of your show?
Absolutely, and you kind of play it by ear too. Like I like to crack beers and have a good time on here, but if I have, you know, somebody like Val James on here or Danny Probert or somewhere where it seems a little less appropriate for me to be cracking beers mid-interview, I just won't do it. Or I'll crack them pre-interview because I haven't started the video portion of the podcast yet. But I mean, you just gotta play that shit by ear. And at this point, I mean, I have explicit up on the show, and most of my listeners are gained from other listeners. I mean, I'm not marketing very much, so. They're going, hey, this dude, you got to listen to this dude. He's mm-hmm. cracking beers in here, talking about butt cheeks and hockey. You got to check it out.
Yeah, that's actually the perfect combination for a show is beer and butt cheeks and sex. And hockey.
Oh, shit, man. Hey, what's one of the craziest things you've seen at a tournament, off the ice or on the ice?
You know, yeah, there's been so many things. I'm trying to think of
one. Maybe a superstition or superstition, because I know, you know, hockey players are weird, and then superstitions can get very weird too.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have many superstition stories. Like I was really superstitious when I played baseball, like always jump over the white line and that kind of stuff. And I think the only superstitions I personally have is I always put my left skate on first.
Dude, I would tie my left football cleat first, and I never washed my game undershirt. So that thing.
Oh, really?
It would.
Do you still not wash your hockey stuff? Because that's disgusting.
you gotta wash your hockey stuff.
Yeah, I do all mine. But the craziest thing, I mean, in terms of our draft party, like our draft parties, they go off the rails. And usually you say, like, what happens at the draft party stays at the draft party. But one of the funniest things that I remember happening is we always have some first timers, and those guys usually go way too hard because they don't realize like what's going on. And people throwing up at a draft party is not uncommon, but it's usually later in the night.
Yeah.
Well, I usually MC the event. So what happens is you check in to the party at 6:30 or 7:00. We start the draft. Like I start my emceeing at 8:00. We start the draft around 8:30. Well, I walked into the urinal right before I was about to get on the mic. So I was just doing my pregame pee here. And one of the players was already puking in the urinal that early.
Ooh.
And I'm just like, what is going on here? And he's like, just went too hard, bro. Ugh. And we didn't see him the rest of the tournament. He just
first
bailed out.
First timer, bro.
Yeah, it's just nuts. In terms of just playing hockey in general, I mean, God, there's been so many crazy things. The funniest thing I've ever heard is my buddy Jay was, they were in the playoffs in their beer league, and they were all sitting around before the game chatting in the locker room, and some dude comes in a hoodie and a backpack and just goes right to their toilet stall, takes a shit, and then walks out without saying a word.
Oh.
And they're like, who is this guy? Like, what the fuck's going on?
That's Commandment 8, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's Commandment 8, isn't it?
Yeah, 7. And yeah, and so, but the thing is, he didn't break that commandment because they went out on the ice and they lined up, and it was a dude from the opposing team just came in and shit bombed them.
Oh, what a badass!
Yeah, just walked in, hoodie, sunglasses, and a backpack, went and shit, and walked out, didn't say a word, and they find out that it's the dude that they were playing against.
Oh, I gotta fight him.
Yeah. The problem is our beer league's no fight.
That's all right.
You can fight, you get kicked out, but you can chirp the shit out of them.
Do they ever come to fisticuffs?
I've seen quite a few fisticuffs. Oklahoma is, to be honest, when I got in, I almost didn't get into hockey because of fighting in beer league. When I first decided to play, I went and watched the lowest level in Oklahoma, and I saw this big beast of a man, number 15, playing for the Oklahoma City Blues, just beating the tar out of some dude. And I was like, how the hell am I going to play in this? Like, I can't even stand up on skates. And turns out the dude ended up becoming one of my really good friends. And he's just like, hey, sometimes you got to handle some shit on the ice.
Yeah, I agree with him. And Beer League, it seems like if there's a bully, that's unnecessary because, like you said, you got to go to work in the morning or something. Yep. Like. But if two dudes are getting pissed out there and want to throw down, but if the rules are, you know, in the rules of your tournament are don't fight, you're getting kicked out, then you know the consequences. So,
well, you know, the tournaments are different because they're there to have fun.
Right.
They're just five
exactly.
games, right? No one's really getting that heated. We've seen like a few times over 10 years that it's come to that, but not fights, but pushing and people getting mad. But, you know, the league is a different thing. You're playing 30 games in the winter where you're playing games at 10:45 at night and it's minus 25 out. And
yeah.
You had a bad day and you think someone just put the butt end of your stick in your ribs on purpose. Well, you want to say something to them, right? And, you know, the whole point of the league that I work for, like they wanted a league because it started as beginners and they didn't want to have to deal with that. So they put in the no fighting rule for a reason, and it still comes to fights and people get kicked out of the league. And, you know, that it's a part of the game. I understand that. I can barely stand up, so there's no chance I'm going to throw fist fights.
And I think in beginners, you really probably don't have a lot of business throwing anyhow because, you know what I mean?
You don't. Because, one, it's dangerous, right? And I know a lot of beginners wear their helmets. They don't wear cages and they wear visors because they think that's what you're supposed to do. But, you know, they could fall and concussions are a real thing. I mean, those are serious things. And if you don't have the balance on skates, then trying to put on skates and throw fists is not going to happen for you. You're going to hit the ice.
I know my buddy Coop in Flint, Michigan, gets a lot of shit from tournaments because he doesn't play with a visor or anything, just the bucket. And a lot of tournaments don't want him to play in the tournament because of just that. You know, like it'd be like you had to put a visor on or you're not playing in the tournament. That it's just gotten to that point where it's not worth it for a rink to have that kind of liability.
Yeah, that's a tough part. I mean, Canada and the States are really different in kind of how hockey leagues run, at least out in the West Coast. Like in Oklahoma, we played our league at two rinks because that's all we had. A lot of places just play their league at one facility. So like the Chillers, like they play at Chillers West or something.
Yeah.
But here in Calgary, like most of the rinks are owned by the city or communities. And so like we have 125 teams in Calgary and we play out of like 40 different facilities.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and that's just one league. Like there's another 100 plus team league. There's a number of 60 plus team leagues. So, you know, we have a lot of hockey going on and it's all played out of different facilities. So, you know, for us, we're pretty lenient on the cage and the visor, but for the beginners, we try to say, hey guys, like that puck comes a lot harder than what you think. And it deflects off weird things, off shin pads, off sticks. So a visor is probably the best route. And then if they don't choose to do that, well, I mean, it's on them.
Oh yeah. And I mean, in the States, you'd be more wise to do it too, because the health insurance costs money here, you know, or,
well, for sure. And I mean, I know you have USA Hockey insurance, but in my experience, that's kind of a sham.
Yeah.
Doesn't really ever pay out. So, and you're right. I mean, I don't have to pay a healthcare deductible.
And I think most of the dudes I know now, if they're league, if you fight, you're at least getting 10 games if you're not kicked out of the league. I mean, if you're fighting two or three times, you're probably out.
Yeah, I think it's going more towards that. There's a lot of leagues in Calgary or in Canada that, you know, there's one in Grand Prairie called the Industrial League, and my buddies just say, hey, if a guy's going to be an idiot on the ice, he needs to know that there's repercussions for it. And hey, I understand it, I get it, but those guys have all played their whole lives, so they can do whatever they want to do, right? So,
oh yeah,
you know, I think that that fighting has serious risk, but like I said, if you want to fight, far be it from me to tell you how to enjoy your experience. I just know that I don't want to fight.
Right, and if you don't want to, you shouldn't have to. And that's my thing. If two dudes want to, I say, yeah, go for it, man. I'll watch for sure. I mean, I might even fight with somebody. But I have a state of mind, too, where I've been in fist fights with my friends and had a beer with them afterwards just on the, you know, at a party. But it was just my aggression, I can get it and lose it very quickly. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, I lost that one. You know, are we still buds? And I know my buddy and listener from Australia, Jake Mack, I want to say he got like 10 games last year. He got in a fight, but I don't think the other dude was a willing participant in that fight too. And so that's, I think, why he got you know, and that's one third of your season after paying your dues too. So that'll make you think as well.
Well, that's the thing. Like our league, like for our team, it's $12,000 for 30 games. And so why would you want to get suspended after you've already paid $800 as a player to play?
Yeah. You probably wouldn't. Nick, now you're living in Alberta, right?
Yes, sir.
You live in Calgary specifically?
Yes.
And I know this, that you're a Flames fan.
I am.
Were you a Flames fan before moving to Canada?
That was my first game, NHL game ever, was the Flames and the Oilers and New Year's Eve, like I spoke about, and I met Iggy, and it kind of made me a Flames fan.
So, no bias, who is going to be the Canadian team to win the Cup next? Who's going to be that team to unite that country again and stick it to the States? I kind of want to see it.
I want to see it too. And listen, I'm going to plug another show other than Beer League Talk, because we have a bunch of blog posts and a couple other shows that we started. And we started a show called Post and Out. And it's our NHL version, so we're not always talking Beer League. It's our NHL show.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we went over this. Like, we went over this topic. And you're gonna say it's biased because I'm a Flames fan, but I'm going to say the Flames are going to be the first team.
Yes.
And it's going to be this year, and let me tell you why. I gotta tell you why.
Okay? Is Crack Legal up there now, too?
All right. The Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
They did not have a draft pick the year before they won the Stanley Cup until the fourth round. The Calgary Flames did not have a draft pick in this draft until the fourth round. That means Flames for the Cup.
The Flames don't have Alex Ovechkin.
Well, okay. Well, they have Johnny Hockey.
Yeah, and I listened to Spit and Chicklets, and they said Johnny, his head is on hard this year, really super focused. I thought he played great. He's only gotten better since he's been a pro. He's really embraced Calgary, you know, going to the Stampede for the second year this year. Whether it be in Gucci boots or not, that's not for me to decide. But
they weren't boots, they were runners or sneakers, and it was ridiculous. But
somebody's gotta slap him before he gets on that horse and be like, don't do that.
I don't know. If I'm making $6 million a year or $7 million or whatever he's making, I'm wearing whatever the fuck I want.
No shit. Good point there, Nick. Point Nick in Canada for the Gucci slippers or whatever the hell he was wearing.
But okay, listen, I am a Flames fan, and I do think that they're going to be way more improved than they were last year.
Oh, bro, they're going to be sick.
To be more realistic, and I'm sure we can touch on the trade that the Flames made, because there are a lot of differing views, but I hate saying this. I hate it.
Toronto?
I think the Leafs are going to be the next team to win.
Toronto?
They've made so many moves. You know, they got Tavares, and it sucks to say it. I know. And listen, I used to hate Oiler fans, and I still hate Oiler fans.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, but I didn't realize the amount of ridiculousness and arrogance and just stupidity that could be displayed by a fan base until I read some of the things that happened after the Leafs got Tavares. It's like they now think that the salary cap does not apply to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
they already won the Stanley Cup in their minds.
What?
They already won the Cup in their minds.
It's so asinine. And listen, I don't hate the team. Like, cool. I'm excited that a fan base got a superstar.
Right.
That is really cool. I think Tavares did the Islanders shitty. I think he should have approached it a little different. But now I'm just sick and tired of hearing about the Leafs already. And we're still 3 months per season.
There's something crazy, too, some weird stat. I don't know the exact number, but like the year that a player signs the biggest contract like that, they have statistically the worst year of their career.
Yeah, you have to live up to making $11 million a year, and guess what?
And it never happens.
His highest point total is 86 points in a year, and Johnny Gaudreau scored 84 last year, the same amount of points as John Tavares, and he's making $4.5 million less.
And he, what, missed the last 2 weeks of the season to go be with his dad, too?
Yeah, he missed some time, and Yeah, and you know, they weren't even, I don't know. It's so crazy. It's so asinine. And
Johnny Hockey was on my fantasy team. I'm a huge Johnny Hockey fan. Obviously, one, he's American, and then two, I took him early in my fantasy draft, and he delivered. He's way better on the power play than he was the year before. He's finally getting the minutes he deserves. He's really become the head of that team, in my opinion.
In terms of offensive ability, yeah, and it's crazy that he put up the power play points when the Flames' power play was like the worst in the league last year.
Dismal.
Yeah, and so I think this year, let's go ahead. Are you cool with just talking about the trade right now?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude, fire away.
Yeah, so all the people in Calgary were pissed off because we traded away Dougie Hamilton.
Well, the thing with that is there was something up. There's something up with Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, he's a okay. I don't know this, but I'm just my opinion. He's a fucking head case.
I've heard this. Right? I've heard this from several people that he's. I either hear he's a prick or he's loony.
Well, I mean, to think about like the usually where there's smoke, there's fire, and all I keep hearing is the dude needed his brother around. His brother drove him around everywhere. They were always together, and he went in a funk when his brother got put on waivers and got sent to Phoenix. And it's just like, fuck, dude, like you're 25 years old, you're making millions of dollars playing a sport. Like, God, just let your brother not play hockey. And then pay his salary, and then he can be around you all the time.
No shit.
The dude is—he's a stud defenseman. Like he scores a lot of points. He had the most goals for a defenseman.
He really turned it on at the second half of the season last year.
For sure. And so, as a Calgary Flames fan, it sucks to lose a guy like that.
Right.
But then you look at what's coming back in Hanifin. All right, and like. Okay, the kid's ceiling is higher than what Dougie is now.
Yeah.
Is he there yet? No. But hey, maybe he's a better fit for the locker room, right?
Oh, and then also, Mr. Fox comes over too?
Well, Fox went to Carolina, but here's the kick.
Fox went to Carolina.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, I heard you talking about it a couple episodes ago about Fox being a stud, and he is a stud.
He is.
He will be a stud. The problem is this stupid-ass NCAA loophole, and it's not even a loophole, it's just the rules, where you can go for 4 years and then sign as a free agent, which is bullshit.
That's going to be more of a thing.
Well, we were worried about Johnny Hockey when he was at Boston College there. We had the scare there. We had the dude that we traded last year to Phoenix, and now I can't even remember the guy's name. I can see him in my head. Hickey. We had Brandon Hickey. Who we traded off because he wasn't going to sign because we had so much defensive depth. Now we got this Fox guy who, that's the rumor, what the GM is saying is that we talked to his management and they just didn't seem like we had an opportunity to sign him because of the depth we had on defense in our prospect ranks and whatever. So to throw him in as a sweetener, that's just what it was. So they have the rights, but I mean, the kid's going to graduate and he can sign anywhere as a UFA. Why would he sign in Carolina? Right.
I mean, hey, if Carolina's there in another 2 years,
well, that too, right? And so, like, when you look at it, sure, they got Ferland. Who, listen, Ferland played his role well. He racked up some points when he played with Gaudreau and Monahan, but he wasn't a true first line right winger. He was just kind of a stopgap, and he put up points, so he was going to want to raise in free agency next year. So we gave up Dougie Hamilton, we gave up Ferland, we gave up Fox,
and Adam Fox.
But we got two number five. Picks.
And I thought Lindholm had a great season last year.
He had 45 points, and they said, "Oh, well, we wanted to offer him a shade over $4 million. He wanted over five, and the Flames just signed him for 6 years, $4.85 million.
Good for him.
So yeah, so he's a 40-point player, and pretty much what it translates into in the NHL level is for every 10 points, it's $1 million contract. So he's getting paid what he should be, and he still has room to grow.
Absolutely, and I'm a huge Noah Hanifin fan. I really, like you said, the ceiling on him is way higher than a Dougie Hamilton. And I think Noah's only getting better and starting to understand the game and kind of bring it to his speed where he can understand it more. And I think he's going to embrace being in Calgary and really take it on. And I don't think he's going to have as much on his shoulders as being in Carolina because I think he was on the top. He's not going to be a top pair in Calgary, is he?
No, I think they're going to go with Giordano and Brody and... maybe Hanifin slots in on that second pairing, but you know, you're right. And the kid is only 21 years old.
Exactly.
So it's, I mean, yeah, for the people that are pissed off. This is actually a good trade, right? Because half the fan base is pissed off, half the fan base is ecstatic.
That's what you want.
And the same goes for Carolina, right?
That's what you want.
Half the fan base is pissed. It's the perfect trade.
That's when you know it's good. They even say that about having a podcast. If you don't have people that hate it, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, we got a lot of people that hate Beer League Talk.
Oh,
that's
my,
for sure.
Oh my God, dude. The some of the stuff where people are just like, you're a fucking loser. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, here's the message that I have to the people that hate Beer League Talk and your podcast. Fuck off.
Yeah, Nick.
You know, that's pretty much it. I mean, we've had people, hey, if you're hating on it, you're listening enough to send me hate mail, well, at least you're listening to
it.
Yeah,
thanks for the downloads. You're still checking it out.
Yep, exactly.
People just like to hate shit, man. That's just what it's come to. It's fine with me. Now, and Calgary is my Canadian team.
All right.
I love the Flames. I'm worried about Mr. Smith and net.
Okay. I'm worried age. Skill-wise, I'm not.
He's
getting injured last year kept us out of the playoffs.
And goddamn is he fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, because he's like he's like Tim Thomas, right? He's
yes, very, he is.
He just kind of does his own thing. You know, the thing is the Flames have had trouble with goalies since Kipper left.
Yes.
And, you know, we need him. When he got hurt last year, it sucked because it was like we were up by like two or three goals and he made some quick movement on a shot that was 10 feet wide of the net with 1 second left. And that's when he got hurt. So just, you know, he just needs to, you know, maybe not play. Maybe he only plays 50 games instead of 60. Right?
And so was Elliot wasn't there last year, was he?
No, Elliot got moved to Philly
so, last year. So was Chad Johnson?
Johnson was the year before with Elliot as well. They have a guy named David Rittich.
Okay.
And then they have a guy named John Gillies. And John Gillies is supposed to be a stud. And then there's another stud behind him named
Tyler Parsons.
Yeah.
Tyler Parsons, a gold medalist for the World Junior team.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give him a job.
Yeah, well, he's crazy. And so that's why, like, having Mike Smith now is good. Having Gillies is good. But eventually, we're going to have to make way for Parsons. But the good thing is goalies usually don't come out until they're 25, 26 years old, right? So,
well, that's why I'd like to see Parsons come up early, just so he can get some Mike Smith in him.
Yeah,
That's what I'd like. And then here's some – I love the youth – on Calgary. I was sad that Tanner Glass got sent down last year. Just because I'm a fan of the Chuck and the Nux every now and again. And I really do believe, and I said this on the podcast last year, that if they would have made the playoffs, Tanner would have been back up in the roster for the first round just to make sure that everybody knew what was going on. Because you don't want to fuck with Tanner Glass, and you saw in New York the year before how well he performed in the playoffs. He's just that kind of guy. But, you know, you mentioned they didn't get a pick until the fourth round this year, and they pick my favorite guy in the draft, Martin Prospecil. He is a beauty. I love this kid. If I could billet him in my house in Ohio, I would. He is incredible. 258 penalty minutes, 14 ejections in the USHL, dude. I don't even know how that's possible.
And, like, if I remember right, he had some, like, 10 goals and 25 assists or something. Like, he was, like, a 40-point player, even with those penalty minutes.
Yeah, dude. He's old school. He's super nice. He's a bad mother. And if you get him and Ohio State Buckeye alum, Mr. Holiday Healy. Have you seen his crushing highlight film on YouTube?
I have seen Healy. Like, that guy is a beast.
And I think in Stockton last year, he really settled down and kind of, I mean, at this point in the NHL, you can't play the way he was in college. Like, if you're getting ejected, you're not getting paid. You're not making the squad. So
sure.
I think he really settled down last year. And I think once he makes that jump and gets in there, you're not going to want to mess with Calgary.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because it kind of goes on in waves, right? Like, they say, well, the the big physical defensemen, defensive guys aren't part of the game anymore. But then you kind of see these players starting to kind of.
I think they're eking their way in. I think they're eking their way back.
But you know, the good part about it is yeah, they've got these big guys that play physical, but they've also got some skill, right? Because Healy had what 20, 25 or 30 points playing college hockey, right?
As a defenseman.
So
he's incredible. Just like Prosper was still. I mean. Yeah, he might have 258 pims in the season, but he also had, like you said, 30 points. And he's still going. I think he's going to St. Clarence or something like that to play college hockey. So he won't be able to play that way because college hockey you can't do any of that. Just like with Healy, he was ejected every other weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of have to balance it out too, right? Because the Flames have some small guys. They have they have Johnny Hockey. They have Austin Zernick. Yeah, they have a couple small guys on the farm as well that are just tons of skill, just small dudes. So you kind of have to even it out with some big dudes that can lay some lumber.
Is Hamnick still in Calgary?
Hamnick is still in Calgary. I think that's who they're going to slot Hanifin in with, I believe.
Are they brewing to have the toughest team in the NHL? Jesus Christ. And also, real deal James Neal?
Yeah, they signed him. And that's what made the trade actually better for me, because now I can look at the trade, because I know he was a free agent signing. I'm not an idiot. I understand that. But pretty much what we got is we lost Dougie Hamilton and Ferland, but we got Hanifin, Lindholm, and James Neal. Right?
So yeah, and James Neal doesn't hurt at all.
Well, we need a guy that can play top line right wing minutes and, you know, put – and I don't think that he'll be with Gaudreau and Monahan. I think they're probably going to try to put him on a second line. But whatever, let Gaudreau set this guy up for – you know, a few weeks and let him pop 15 goals or whatever.
Oh, God, please put Neal and Gaudreau together, please.
Yep.
I think it would be so fun to watch. And I hope that you're right, and I hope that Calgary is the first Canadian team to bring the cup back home.
Yeah, I say that in jest because of the fourth round pick. And I, as much as I'd want to be the homer and say yes, I think if you're looking at it right now, I think it's going to have to be Toronto. But like I said, the ignorance of the Toronto fans. Sorry if you're one of those Toronto fans that actually understand things, but now they're not worried about defense. Like, your defense was one of the worst defenses in the National Hockey League. They haven't made any upgrades,
and it didn't get better.
Yeah, they lost Uncle Leo, and I know he's old and slow, but you know he was a solid defenseman. And yeah, I understand you got a shit ton of skill on the front end, but you got to stop those goals from coming in. Like, goalie is not going to be able to save your ass every night. I mean, look what happened to the Oilers when their goalie came back down to earth this year.
Oh, and you lose your protector too. I mean, Matt Martin, I mean, I know there's not much fighting, but he still settled guys down when they were playing because nobody wants to fuck with Matt Martin.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and I'm sure you've probably seen the documentary Ice Guardians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Matt Donovan, the guy that played defense for the New York Islanders, and I asked him about fighting, and he said it definitely still has a place because these small guys are out there, the skilled, smallish forwards. Like, the other team has to know they can't just take free runs at these guys.
Oh, no.
And if you don't have anyone that at least there's a chance is going to drop the gloves and pound someone's face in, well, then they're just going to take runs at your skilled forwards all night.
And I think losing Lou Lamoriello helps. I think not upgrading the D whatsoever hurts. I think losing Matt Martin hurts as much as anybody wants to hear that or not. I think it'll affect it. And I think there's a bigger issue with Austin Matthews than what is being made out of it. I don't think he likes Babcock, and I don't think he's going to be a Maple Leaf for forever.
Well, you know what? I think I just want, and not because I'm a hateful, spiteful person, but I want Austin Matthews to get to free agency and fuck over the Maple Leafs,
yes, sir,
to go back to his hometown. Not because I hate the Maple Leafs, just because I want the fans to understand what the Islanders fans are going through.
It'd be you know, some of that some sweet payback, and I think it'll happen. I don't think he will stay in Toronto his next signing. I just don't.
Yeah, but the problem is that he's under club control for what, 5 seasons or something. So yeah. I mean, that's the hard part, right? And you know, cool, like I said, I want the Maple Leafs to have success. I want whoever is a fan of a team for their team to have success, except for the Oilers. But I just want the fans to be realistic. Like, I'm so tired of hearing, we're not going to lose one of our young guys because of the salary. There's a real chance you're going to lose one of your young guys because you gave $11 million to Tavares. Not saying it was the wrong move. I'm saying that's just called reality.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to be able to keep Marner, Nyland, and Matthews, and Lilligren, and Brown, and all the someone's got to go. It's just...
Yeah, because look what Matthews... Let me just look this up while we're sitting here. I mean, when you're paying a guy that makes... That puts up 84 points, $11 million, if there's another guy that puts up close to 84 points, he's going to want $11 million.
Yeah.
It's just the way shit works, right? And I know Matthews and them, I think, yeah, okay, I'm looking at it. He had 63 points last year. He's went 69 points, 63 points, but he only played 62 games last year.
As you say, he's been hurt, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, let's say he puts up 15 more points in those 10 games, or even what he's a point per game player, so he would put up 20 more points. That's 83 points.
Woo.
So that's what he was on. That's what he was on pace for. So if you look at your team and you say, well, you're paying this guy $11 million because he produces at this pace, I'm also producing at this pace. What the fuck, guys?
Yeah.
So it is a very real concern. And then if you look at the other guys like Nylander and these guys, like, they're putting up a lot of big points too. Like they're not going to say,
oh yeah, they're all contributors.
Discount.
And there's such a thing as a locker room too, a dressing room, and nobody knows how Tavares is going to mix into that. There's plenty of cases historically of a dude like Tavares, a big time guy, going somewhere and it not amounting to shit. It happens quite frequently, really.
Yeah, and for sure. And at the end of the day, there's only so many goals to
right.
go around for
right.
each team.
Right. I mean, so, he's taken away, essentially, I would say half of his points he usually scores. So 40 points aren't going to be there for somebody.
Exactly. And so what do you do? Take 10 points off everyone, and now Matthews is a 60-point player, and Marner's a 60-point player, and Nylander's a 50-point player? Well,
right. And who's to say that young chemistry wasn't what was working and why that team was successful?
For sure. But I am completely on board. And listen, again, I don't want to offend Leafs fans.
I do. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, they're just not realistic. I saw a blog that was posted by, like, editorinleaf.com. I didn't mean to plug them, but it was, oh, do we think Matthews will score 70 this year? And it's like, what the fuck? Like, he scored 35 last year. Why is 70 even on the table here?
Oh, the issue with being able to create a podcast on a whim or a blog or anything is shit like that.
And I get it. I get that they're – like, listen, we have a blog too, beerleaguetalk.com for all you guys. And we cover hockey from our perspective, from a fan's perspective. Just like today I wrote a blog about the Senators need to get their shit figured out or something like that because they got all the shit going on. And instead of dealing with that shit, they're trying to change their logo.
Yeah, what's...
It's like, fuck, guys.
That,
like, get your shit together.
That organization is rough right now.
It's incredible. But the point I was trying to make is that I understand that you need to get people to click your stuff if that's what you're trying to build. But fuck. Like,
yeah, but think about that, Nick. I mean, you create shit, I create shit. And that's... It's bizarre to me that goes through somebody's mind is... I need clicks on this.
Well, look at Elkland or whatever the hell his name is from Hockey Buzz. Like, he just makes up fucking trade rumors and makes a shit ton of money because people go in there and buy into it, and it's fucking ridiculous. And he's been right, like, it's something like 2% of the time.
Oh, there's this fucking dick sucker on Twitter. I'm not going to say his name, and I hate that I bring him up all the time, but I'm sure people know who I'm talking about because I constantly argue with the guy, and I got to stop doing it. But I know that he's just saying shit on, like, the way he words it and the people that he puts in it on purpose to get traction. And I know better, but I still, like, I'm like, it's so dumb that I have to comment on it.
Yeah, well, that's, he's got you.
Yeah, I know it, man. I know, and it aggravates me, man.
But, you know, you just do your own thing, and it just sucks that, you know, of course, Leafs fans are going to read that because that's what they want to happen. They want Austin Matthews to score 70 goals and win the Stanley Cup, and guess what? I want that for you.
I want him back in America.
Well, you know, I was really hoping that Phoenix won the draft there so they could get him. I thought that Bettman would make it happen.
Oh, it'd be awesome. But, you know, Bettman made Toronto get it, just like Bettman putting himself in the Hall of Fame. I know he didn't, but it's still weird that he's the current chairman and he's getting it. It's weird.
Well, yeah, that I kind of tend not to pay attention too much to what he does because, I mean, everyone hates him. I never got the booing. I mean,
he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, everyone boos him and says he's the reason for the lockout when really it's fucking owners and the players that they do stupid stuff to get around the current rules and they have to go try to fix them. So.
Oh, shit. Excuse bless you, me. Bless you, oh, bless my you. Goodness. While we're talking about the cup here, who would you could say would be a dark horse besides Calgary to get in there and maybe do something like Vegas and get that run?
Well, to do a dark horse situation, God, it's so hard because, I mean, these guys... Well,
the parity in the league is amazing.
It's asinine how close things are. I mean, the top half anyway, right?
Yeah.
So when you start looking, I mean, the main question is, do you think Vegas is going to have the same amount of success that it had last year?
No.
I think they're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be that good.
I don't even think they're going to be good.
You don't?
No. I think they're going to finish bottom three in the Pacific for sure.
Really? Well, I don't. I mean, I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't think that they're going to be there. But I mean, you are right. I mean, if Edmonton and Calgary step up and you know make the playoffs, then where is there a spot for you know Vegas? Because you know the Sharks are going to make it.
It's a crazy division. The Ducks
are going to make it. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so I mean, we talked about this on Posting Out as well, and Jay thinks the Jets he thinks they're going to be the favorites to win the cup.
I like that. Is Posting Out a podcast or just on YouTube?
Yeah, no, it's just a podcast, not even on YouTube.
Oh shit, dude! I'll definitely be subscribing to that, man. That sounds interesting.
We're really new. Like we have three episodes out, and we haven't done one in a couple weeks just because of work. But
summertime too, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like you. Like I mean, it's hockey from the fans' perspective, and I think as beer leaguers and hockey players, we have kind of this unique perspective on the game. And so we're just like, well, let's just get it out there and see what happens. And I mean, it's been pretty well received. You know who I'm really kind of pulling for here, just because you know I don't think it'll happen, but it would be great to see the Islanders go on a run.
Oh, wouldn't that be sweet?
And I'm not an Islanders fan. I could care less. I mean, other than they had the firstborn and bred Oklahoman playing for them, but I could care less. I don't follow them. But it would be cool that you know, they got Trotz. They got Lou Lamoriello back over there. And so, like, it would be cool just to see them make a run. So that's who I want to make a run.
I wouldn't hate that at all, man. I mean, Barzal's really good. Anders Lee's crazy good. Brock Nelson. I'm a huge Ross Johnson fan, obviously, just because I love a good fucking dude that still is in the league and can get a contract. I wouldn't hate that at all.
But I think if I'm going to say there's going to be a team that's going to make a run, and this really kind of depends on their goalie staying healthy, because he's an older goalie, but he's still got the skills in it with him.
Boston.
I think Florida is going to
get the fuck out of here, dude.
I think Florida, man. I really do. Listen, they got a lot of young players.
They do. Bjorkstrom?
Who? They got Bjugstad now. They got a bunch of young players and they're good. So let's see what happens. I know it's tough because they're playing over there on the East, but hey, why not?
They're in the Atlantic, so it's not that tough.
Well, okay, you got me there, but I mean, it is Florida, right?
Oh yeah, and I think if they can get Mike Hoffman's fiance to like stand outside the stadium and threaten people as they come in, maybe they'll have a better season too. Like, it's scary.
But hey, that is really funny. But I mean, you've heard kind of the breaking stuff there, right? Like it's she's saying that no one's giving her any evidence that she did anything wrong, and even old Biz Nasty is saying that there's going to be some stuff come out here that puts Carlson's side on a bad light here.
I didn't hear this.
Yep. So
Why would you make that up?
Exactly. It's crazy. It's so asinine. That's why when I said Senators need to get their shit together, one of the points were their players and their players' significant others are treating this like it's actually junior high.
Yeah.
That's what it's like over there.
And that's like super dark junior high where you're talking about some girl saying something about your stillborn child.
I mean, it's crazy and nuts, and I don't know where it came from.
It seems like that shouldn't even be public news.
Well, there's a lot of things that probably shouldn't be public news that are. I mean, for fuck's sakes, Kim Kardashian's little sister is people are giving her money so she can be the youngest billionaire in history, which is fucking asinine. Yeah. When she said that. Send that money to Beer League Talk. It will make some cool fucking shit.
Yeah, motherfuckers, let me get some biscuit shirts made. Send me $30.
So my circling back, I think Florida, I mean, they missed the playoffs by a point. Like, didn't they miss it on the last game of the season last year?
Yeah, they had a hell of a second half.
Yeah, so I think that they could surprise some people. It's dependent on Luongo being healthy, because I think their backup is James Reimer.
Yeah, unfortunately for them, Luongo's a goalie, and he's another year older now.
Yeah. Hockey Twitter.
Florida?
Yeah, he's got the best hockey Twitter account.
He's a gem. He's a damn gem, that's for sure, man. There's all that shit on YouTube, like life hacks. Do you have any beer league hacks? Like something maybe that you wouldn't know as a like high school hockey player or something like that, where coming to beer league, it might help, like maybe just bringing a six pack or, bringing an extra jersey so you can play afterwards if a team needs you or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. I always say, like, people ask this question all the time. The team's bringing them out. They're not asking them to pay. What should I do? You should always pay something, whether it's money or bringing some beer. That's a good one. So, just stop by the gas station on the way to the game and, put a 12 pack in. I can promise you, you will make some of the best friends ever if you do that.
Right.
Always bring an extra jersey if you have blank jerseys, because so many times beer leaguers forget their jerseys because we're a bunch of fucking idiots that are just so excited about getting to the rink to play hockey that sometimes we forget things, whether it's gloves, whether it's, a shin pad, or sometimes our jersey.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things I saw in your How to Spot a Ringer, though. Look out for that separate jersey, so you might get a target on you.
Yeah, I got chirped so bad for that video. Yeah, I mean, I know it was Oklahoma hockey, but here's the deal. Like, when I made that video, I was just getting into video editing, so I just needed something to make.
I really like the GoPro, too, man.
Yeah, and my league now, I even work for a league, they won't let me wear a GoPro.
Oh, that sucks.
And I understand why, right? I, for me, it's actually nice because you know how long it takes to go through those GoPro videos and edit down our game. It's fucking ridiculous. So mad props to like players like the Nasher on YouTube that they do every game, or Beer League Bender is another one. Those guys, they're killing it with the content. I want to make more videos like that. Maybe it's going to be more in the draft tournament. My only issue is I'm not a very good hockey player, so I got to score many goals. Like, I might pot two or three in a five-game tournament if I'm lucky, right?
Yeah.
And so, is that really interesting for people? I don't know. I really just want people to have more hockey content to watch.
I think the GoPro alone is going to be interesting for people just to see. I mean, because people flip out when the refs wear it, and they, for whatever reason, do it once a year. I don't know why they're not doing it every game.
Yeah, I think they should, because it's a cool look. It's fucking for the pros. Sweet. It's a different aspect. But for beer leaguers, I did an awareness program with the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Canada a couple years ago, where I played every day for 31 days in the month of January.
Good Lord, sir.
And I had to go into the locker room and say, hey fucks, like, I'm not wearing this to watch my dangles. I don't need you chirping me. I don't need you aiming for it. Like, I'm doing it for this reason. And then those idiots still fucking chirping about wearing GoPro. Right? Crazy.
Oh, shit, man. Before we get out of here, Nick, I wanted to bring up, on a sad note, I know it's been a fun episode, but the passing of Ray Emery, who just recently, unfortunately, drowned over, what was it, last weekend?
Yeah.
At 35 years old, which is... I'm 31, so super close to my age. And I remember Mr. Ray Emery playing just because of his tenacity and, you know, some of the teams he had played for, you know, being in Philly and, you know, winning a cup in 2013 and, you know, having a sweet nickname like the Razor. And I just wanted to, you know, shine a light on him. And if anybody, you know, hasn't heard or, you know, seen Ray Emery's highlights or, you know, him beat the shit out of Braden Holtby, to go do that and just, you know, it's summertime and people are out swimming. You just got to be careful. And life is truly short. And there's, you know, Ray Emery had ups and downs in his career and, you know, car accident and, you know, getting back and playing again, winning a cup and having things go on outside of hockey. He lived and he did what he wanted to do. And I recommend people do the same. There was a time where I was doing shit I didn't want to do and I just stopped it. And I'm much happier now. And it really is that easy. It doesn't seem that easy, but it really is that easy just to say, nah, I'm not doing that anymore.
For sure. And you know, like, you're right. Life is precious. Life is short. Like, I've had some experiences in my life where that's been proven to me a few times. And was Ray Emery a perfect person? No, I'm not a perfect person. No one's a perfect person. So to put him on blast for that stuff after this is it sucks because it seemed like he was turning his life around and to the bigger picture is like he was part of the hockey family and yeah he was a pro hockey player but he's still part of my hockey family and it sucks when anyone passes away. I don't know what happened. I don't know what led up to it, but I'm sad.
It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, when you see some of the guys that shared a locker room with him speak so highly of him, none of it matters except for those things. Because none of us really knew Ray Emery. I mean, not like dudes like Riley Cote or any of those guys that spent time with him. And it's really sad.
Yeah, so, you know, just, you know, squeeze your family a little tighter, your buddies, tell them that that they actually mean something to you. Don't just be dickwads to them. Tell your team. Tell your team that you're happy that they're a part of your team. And,
absolutely.
You know, let's use this to just realize that life is short and we should make the most of it.
Yeah. My son's name is Emery, and he always liked that Ray Emery. You know, it says his name on the back of his jersey spelled the same way, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then also, too, I mean, for I don't know if African American or African Canadian is the right shit to say, but being a black hockey player, I mean, and a black goalie, it's like him, Kevin Weeksie, that, and Grant Fuhr. I mean, those are the three. Like, dude was important, and we lost a good guy in the hockey family.
We did, and it's a sad day. And you know, I hope his family is taking it as well as you can take anything like that, and I hope they find some peace with it.
Absolutely. Nick Fleehart, man, you're a beauty.
Hey, thanks. Can I add one more thing before I know that's a good one to end on, but I'm sure you're aware of all the esports, like how big this internet gaming has become online.
Now, this is something that I have just been dabbing my toes into just over the past couple weeks. A buddy of mine, Flat Earth Madia, and I have just been talking about Twitch, and I was talking to JT Brown about it too. But go ahead. I do know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, and actually, the JT Brown thing is actually what kind of got me to thinking. But they were doing a charity stream for playing Fortnite, which I'm the worst Fortnite player in the world.
Oh, you haven't played against me because I fucking blow.
I think me and the Beer League Talk crew, like we want to kind of give back to the community and we want to use esports to give back. So we're going to do like a charity live streaming when the weekend NHL comes out. We're going to get it on Twitch and we're going to play for 48 hours straight. Not 48 hours straight. Like, we're going to switch off, but we're also going to do some podcasting on Twitch while people are playing and all that stuff. So if any of your followers want to, if they're already on Twitch, just go follow Beer League Talk, and that way you'll get notified when we get it started. I've never actually streamed live on Twitch, so I'm actually having to learn here in the next couple weekends how to actually put it all together, and then we'll do something cool. Like, we're going to find a hockey charity to to give back to. Might be Hockey Fights the Homeless. There's a ton of them out there, a ton of great ones. But we're gonna do that, and then what we're gonna do is, what we'll do is we'll be like, hey, do you want to play a game against us? Donate $5. Yeah. Donate $5. All that will go to whatever charity.
Keep this charity in mind. One I work with quite frequently, Scott Parker, Stanley Cup champion, Biscuit alumni, has a nonprofit organization for veterans called ParkersPlatoon.org. So that'd be one to look into, maybe donating some money to.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love the military ones because, you know, as an American, we're the patriotic, and we love that our soldiers are out there on the front lines fighting for us.
Yes, sir.
Another one to check out is Skate for the 22. I met these guys in Boston at a serviceman charity tournament, and they bring light to troops and suicides. They're 22 servicemen kill themselves every day, and so they're trying to, you know, bring prevention awareness and just get these guys out in playing sports and you know, getting their mind off that kind of stuff. So really cool crews that are doing good stuff in the community using hockey.
Does Twitch go like over, like say I have a PlayStation 4. If you're on Xbox, can I watch your Twitch?
Yeah, it will probably be on PlayStation 4, but you just go to twitch.tv. Sorry about that. You just go to twitch.tv and then you go to like Beer League Talk and it shows up in like your web browser.
Dude, I'm fucking following you tonight, dude. I'll be awesome. My son is super into video games, so I have to kind of get into it a little bit just because I don't want to be a shitty dad. So I'm like,
yeah, well, I've always been into video games until I had a son, and then it's kind of tailed off. But just so you'll know, this is like a Biscuit Pod exclusive because I haven't even announced it on Beer League Talk.
That
this
is what we're planning on doing.
Yeah, so I've had this idea and I've been wrestling with it for a week. And some people are like, "Well, who will pay you to do that?" I'm like, "It doesn't matter. Even if we get $0, just to be on there and talking about the charity and playing these games could help somebody."
Well, I'll definitely come on and play, and I'll donate some money too, and kick whoever's ass that I need to on
Chubby. I'll kick Danny and April's ass because they never play video games.
Well, they're fucked. You're fucked, both of you. I'll beat you with the fucking Blue Jackets. That's how bad I am.
Oh, nice.
Nick, dude, thank you so much for coming on, man. This was a blast, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime you want to talk some hockey, you're welcome on Beer League Talk. And if you want me to come on and chat on the Biscuit, I'll be there too.
Fucking A, and we'll definitely have you on after Calgary wins the cup, yeah?
Well, I'll be bragging. I'll be tooting my own horn.
Hey, but before we sign off, man, tell everybody where they can find you.
Everywhere on social media, Beer League Talk. That's YouTube. That's Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Yes, we even have a Pinterest because we have two girls that like to do crafts on our show.
Nice.
BeerLeagueTalk.com. We try to put out as much content as we can throughout the week. Like today, we put out 5 different blogs.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are prolific. You guys make me feel like a piece of shit.
Oh, you're not a piece of shit. You just gotta keep working, and you have to understand, I have other people that are writing these blogs. Like right now, we're doing every day. We're putting out best jersey in franchise history per team. Why your team's going to be good this year, and why your team's going to suck balls. And that's 3 pieces right there that I'm not having to write. And so that's a way to kind of get a lot of content out. And so you guys should check those blogs out.
Oh, it's the red Calgary jersey. Is the best.
Well, for me, like if it's Calgary, when we get to the Calgary ones, like we've done Anaheim, Boston, and Arizona so far. When we get to Calgary, it has to be like those retro reds for sure.
Oh, easily. The Lanny McDonald's, man. Those are the best.
For sure.
Oh, and you guys did the blog on the video game too, didn't you?
Yeah, we do. Our whole deal is like we're trying to cover hockey, sport, and life from the aspect of a fan or a beer leaguer. And so we're going to cover video game. We're going to cover anything that people want to write about and that we think is important. We're write it. And if people like it, people like it.
I think I ended up getting 13 followers from that blog because I mentioned Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey and people were fucking stoked on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck yeah, man. And look out for Beer League Talk coming to Columbus in September. I'll try to make it down there, man. And just to say hello, if not anything.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to be at our bar doing the draft party, which is an incredible hockey bar.
You wouldn't think
Columbus would have a hockey bar, but our bar is
right awesome. There in the alley.
The rink is awesome. So if anyone plays, look it up on drafttournament.com because they really are. You'll get hooked and you'll want to come to a ton of them.
Yeah, I live about an hour north, so it's nothing to it but to do it, my man.
For sure, man. All right, buddy. Well, we'll chat with you soon, and thank you very much again for having me on.
Yeah, you have a good night, Nick.
All right, you too. Bye.
Well, Biscuit Babies, that was Nick Fleehart of the Beer League Talk YouTube podcast, blog, all that stuff. What an amazing time. I really had fun. That was a blast. Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate you guys. And I'll appreciate you a little more if you can head over to hairlessapeinc.com, order a shirt, order a couple shirts. Get your dad a shirt. Maybe you're dating some fucking guy and he looks like an asshole. Get him a shirt. Enter promo code BISCUIT10, save 10% off. And, you know, maybe head over to Mount Vernon, Ohio. Get in the Lucid Float Spas. Tell them the Biscuit sent you. Save half off your first float. That's a fucking saving of $30, you pieces of fuck. You're welcome. Go rate and review us, please. I don't ask you guys for anything. Just go rate and review us. It's so fucking easy to do. 5 stars. This podcast saved my life. I was getting divorced until I heard this podcast. I used to have a small dick. Now I have a big one because of this podcast, The Biscuit. My pubes fell out, then they grew back because of The Biscuit. All those things. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, everywhere you can go. Yeah. Love you. Bye. How many fucks do I give? How many fucks do I give?